Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
In your charity, please pray for our confrere, Father Raymond, on his feast day. And before you leave today, you're encouraged to stop by the side chapel to your left, dedicated to the Epiphany. You'll see a beautiful depiction of today's feast day there. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is the best gift that you've ever received? Was it something valuable, something practical, something that had a lot of thought go into it? We all have the experience of giving or receiving a gift that seems to be the perfect match, and other gifts that simply fall flat. What is the difference? On this solemnity of the Epiphany of our Lord, we have an opportunity to consider what makes a gift good. First, a good gift costs the giver something. Not necessarily money, but perhaps time or talent. A good gift always involves sacrifice. Second, a good gift gives something that is in itself good. No boy wants a toy tractor missing a wheel. No artist wants paint that's dried up. No teacher wants a worm-infested apple. A good gift is as much as possible without defect. Third, a good gift gives something that is fitting. That is not just itself good, but good for the person receiving it. Just as you would not give a baby a Rolex or a grown man a pacifier, all good gifts somehow match the person receiving it, usually in his present state, or sometimes by connecting him back to his past. Maybe that pacifier was his own from his infancy, or by anticipating or hoping for the future. But in any case, the principle still remains that a good gift must be fitting for the person receiving it. Now, the Magi, who came from the East bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gave a very good gift indeed, one that meets all three of these criteria. Did it involve sacrifice? Certainly. Their journey following the star involved much time and personal sacrifice as they left their familiar land in search of the King of the Jews, not to mention the monetary cost of the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Were their gifts good? Well, they gave in gold, incense, and myrrh. Need more be said? But lastly, were their gifts fitting? At first glance, no. What good is gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the little newborn Christ child? Yet the fathers of the church tell us that this gift was exceedingly fitting for the Christ child, for who the recipient was. Gold for a king, frankincense for a god, and myrrh used to anoint the bodies of the dead to prepare one for burial. When we put these together, then, we see that God worked through the Magi and allowed them to give gifts that convey that the little babe lying in the manger is a divine king who came to die for our salvation. So on the solemnity of the Epiphany, we might ask ourselves, what gifts can we give the newborn Jesus? St. Gregory the Great says that we can have a share in giving the gifts of the Magi to the divine babe. How so? We offer Jesus gold if we shine with heavenly wisdom. We offer him incense if we make our hearts an altar of prayer. And we offer him myrrh if we put our vices to death through penance and self-denial. Wisdom, prayer, self-denial. This is a lofty goal given by St. Gregory, and it is one worth striving for, by God's grace. But what if we feel we have no wisdom, no prayer, no self-denial to offer the Christ child? Or perhaps some little amount, but our efforts look more like a worm-infested apple than a brilliant diamond. Where does that leave us? Are we empty-handed before the King of Kings? Well, in a very real sense, yes, we are empty-handed. As St. Paul reminds us, what do we have that we have not first received? When we feel we have nothing to give, that we are empty-handed, this realization is far closer to the truth than when we are self-satisfied with the gifts that we offer God. So do we stop giving gifts? Stop offering things to our Lord? No, certainly not. Keep giving those gifts, but let us beg the Lord to purify our mixed motives and our less than perfect intentions when we give. And yet the good Lord does not leave us in our emptiness. Mother Teresa says that God does not want us in our fullness. He wants us in our emptiness, in our poverty, precisely so that he can fill us. When we are aware of our spiritual poverty, our spiritual nothingness without divine grace, this is precisely where God wants us to be as we prepare to receive him in Holy Communion. The same divine babe whom the Magi adored so long ago is about to be made truly present at this altar in just a few moments. And although we in no way deserve this gift, as long as we are in the state of grace and prepared to receive him, the same divine babe yearns to commune with us in this most perfect of gifts, the Holy Eucharist, which cost the very life of the God-man, in which the unblemished Lamb of God is given, and in a most fitting and approachable way, through the humble appearances of bread and wine. The Lord is near. What shall we give him? As the words of a well-beloved Christmas hymn states so well, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. May Mary Immaculate help us to receive the King of Kings with empty hands but generous hearts, on bended knee, all along the star-guided pilgrimage of this life, so we may arrive at the brightness of eternal light in heaven, where he reigns together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot's Circle podcast. May God bless you.